Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 161. I'm your host, Will Wilson, and with me is fine purveyor of words, Peter Willington.
Hello.
Fine purveyor of numbers, including and not excluding 32, John Jordan.
Yeah, that's not too much.
And sexual deviant, Keith Andrew.
That's mean.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. Yeah, hello.
Hello everyone. I hope you've had a nice week. It's Friday. Look, it's not really Friday, it's Thursday, but when you hear this, it's Friday. And in my simulated bubble world, I'm now pouring myself out a beer to celebrate Friday. Hasn't it been a great week? Everyone's very quiet. The Biz Boys have been absolutely run off their clogs. Yes. That's the phrase, isn't it? Because every company under the sun has basically released financial reports on the same day, pretty much. So if you can hear some sort of groaning or fury from the Keith and John, it's because literally they've been swamped with numbers. Quite interesting.
Waving the white flag.
We've got another week of it, though. That's the appalling thing. I've got three more to do tonight, and then just get another whole blooming week of it.
It's party season. There was a hell of a lot of companies, though, did it last night, didn't they?
The problem last night was Facebook decided to post its IPO thing as well. It was like 200 pages of guffoonery. That's what we call it in its technical term, that.
I'm going to use that word next time I'm around with analysts. It'll make me feel smarter. Yes, so that's pretty much what those guys have been absolutely snowed under with work. Over on the .co.uk side, of course, we've been very busy. Lots of good news. Actually, a lot of good news this week.
Good
interesting
news.
Stuff. Well, interesting news.
What's good?
Well, let's talk about it.
Let's find out.
News. Okay, so yeah, first up this week, let's start with Crytek. Yeah. Interesting development. They sort of came out of nowhere with this.
It did, didn't it?
Crytek are currently working on a cross-platform gaming service. I'm going to save the name for now. A cross-platform gaming service across PC and mobiles and tablets that I guess will tie into their free-to-play first-person shooter, which they're developing at the moment. Because that's the impression I got anyway. But it's a bit like OnLive in a way, only that the games can be played in a variety of ways depending on what device you're playing on. So their example is a PC player playing first-person shooter, but in the same universe, the tablet owner could be the commander telling people where to go by tapping on the screen, and the phone person can be like the air support person. And the name of this service is G-Face.
Or it might be G-Face.
No, I was going to say, I think it's G-Face.
The German way.
Put your guff face on. That's what the advert's going
to
be.
It's a nice idea, but I was kind of saying to John earlier, it worries me a little bit because if you're a developer, you'd essentially have to treat this as an entirely new format. What you mean, you could take something you'd put on console or PC over, but either you do something incredibly token for the tablets or smartphones, or you know, I don't know what, you outsource it to some smartphone dev, or you set aside a team in your own.
Do you suspect this is really mainly for Crytek's own usage? Mm. You know, because they...
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you're going to brand it like that, if you're going to make it a big thing, you know, then you clearly want third parties. I mean, you know, if it was just their thing, I don't think you wouldn't need to give it a name. It would just be a thing.
I suspect it might be, they might introduce it into their... into their CryEngine, though, because their CryEngine there, I remember them talking up a lot about how they can go for the consoles and PC. You know, they were going on about how something you make for the PC will automatically look the same on the consoles, etc. when they were talking up the latest version of it. So maybe it's going to be an extension of the CryEngine in that way. So, like, we have tools in place to allow you to make.
mean, the example they give doesn't really fill me much confidence in terms of the poor smartphone guy. It's almost like you can imagine him being air support and tapping on the screen where he wants to drop a bomb or something. You think that's really not a game, is it? And if you want something to span these three, you've really got to do something that engages people on those platforms. Otherwise, they won't play. And if they don't play, then the whole thing kind of, you're just left with what is an online.
But the other thing could be, because it's all browser based, while they're saying someone could play it on a tablet or a phone, equally they could play it on a PC as well. So you could just almost like, you know, in a sense, it doesn't have to be hardware specific in that way. So you could just have an air support thing that people could play on PC if they wanted to. So effectively you could have some sort of weird squad based thing where you have to play this bit on the PC because it's the first person bit, but you can play this bit. The commander can be on a PC like normal, or it can be on a tablet. You know, so there's different ways around it. I mean, I think developers always basically boil down to doing the simplest thing they can. I don't think there's a lot of
like water.
I was going to say as well, like this isn't a particularly like. Like, the implementation of it is different, but to me, when I read this, this immediately struck me as DUS 514 to CCP's EVE Online, you know, in so much as DUS 514 first-person shooter in the EVE universe that actively affects, the universe that you're playing.
But those are effectively, you know, running kind of on the same hardware. The only reason it's being separated is partly for commercial reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. But the point is that, like, obviously the point was made earlier that this would have to be treated as a, you know, completely different format. And I think actually what it could be is the example that they give is fine. It's a little bit flawed, and I don't think it will particularly work in that way. But the CCP route, that kind of thing, providing different experiences in different ways, but in the same universe, that's actually really exciting. And if this technology helps that, then I think Guffase could take off in some way.
Well, I mean, you could do that. You could do that anyway. I mean, I would have thought the thing about this is that it's, I mean, I don't know anything about that example you're giving, but I would have thought the thing about this is that it's real time, in that you start up a mission and you have friends who are playing on PC, you have friends who are on the tablets.
That is one. Did you guys have a look at the website? Because that was quite interesting. Yeah. The drag and drop friends party system was quite an interesting
development. I just can't imagine... I would have thought either you can have an incredibly, you can have a publisher that isn't Crytek, who really throws themselves into it and dedicates whole units of their business to come up with something that really ties the three together and really engages people, whatever they're on. Or you can have people putting out PC games on it with an extra mode like that, where you drop bombs if you've got a smartphone. And people aren't going to do that. You know, they won't. I won't. If Will was on his massively powerful PC and he sent me a message saying, hey, start up your smartphone, I need some bombs dropped.
Yeah. Drop the bomb, Keith. I spell bomb, B-O-M.
Start up your own smartphone. I'm not going to come on and just tap the screen to drop bombs. You know, I think it's a very nice idea, the right idea, actually, because I kind of think what it points out is the weakness of OnLive, in that you need a controller, which is kind of the whole USP of a smartphone and a tablet is it's got a touchscreen. It's always, I always think it's backwards to try and do that. So that is the right idea, I think. But I would have thought if I was a developer or a publisher, even a big one, you'd think it's a lot of effort for something that, unless you get the good games, no one else apart from Crytek is going to use. So, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so, right, let's go on to the next story. Judge rules in favour of Apple over patent that's, get ready for the pun, guys, at the core of Android.
Don't get it.
Android has an Apple core.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah,
so this is the ongoing patent war. This one's between Apple and HTC rather than Apple and Samsung. So, yes, it's the 263 patent, which is apparently the use of real-time APIs that's at the core of all Android-powered devices, not just HTC's. If it comes to pass, then the ruling would affect everyone, and it wouldn't be quite a simple UI change or require just a simple little plaster over the crack like that other patent ruling recently about being able to phone people from a message, you know, open up the dialer, is this one's a lot bigger. What's everyone think about this? Is this really bad, or, you know? Well,
they're just making pay, wouldn't they? They're just making pay for every device they sold. They'd have to give Apple a bit of money.
Wow, a little bit of money per device sold. That would be a lot of money.
They're doing that already to Microsoft.
Microsoft, yeah. Microsoft make loads of Android. They love it.
That's a good point, yeah. It's always fun pointing that out to an Android fan. But yes, so... But is it good? I mean, is it good for smartphones in general? I mean, because...
Well, as we've said before, literally, you know, these things are so massively technical. It's you know, it's neither one way or the other, certainly at the moment. It's part of an ongoing, several ongoing cases. There's ongoing cases all over the world with these people. Basically, what will happen is at some point in the future, they'll all decide they've had enough and someone will do a deal and someone will get paid a few billion dollars. And, you know, I mean... The more I end up writing and having to kind of edit these stories, they're kind of interesting to a degree, but I mean, there's so many of them at the moment that I think there's news that's absolutely meaningless. Because these things roll on for years and years and years, and in the end, no one really cares. It's just a way of willy waving, really. You know, because effectively the US patent system is completely broken. I mean, anyone can get a patent, you know, it's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, the European one's not particularly any better, but it's just, you know, effectively you get a patent, you spend like $10,000 getting it, and then you just like go around trying to bash people with it, you know.
I just love how casually you just said they'll just pay them £1 billion or something like that. Like,
well, they will. I mean, but for these companies, I mean, this is like Apple, Google, Microsoft. One, they've got tens of billions of dollars sitting around. Effectively, and even if they didn't, you know, they can raise money fairly easily. So I mean, and the thing is, they've all got patents. So unless somehow someone decides there's some one patent to rule them all kind of patent, which
that would be brilliant.
you kind of imagine is unlikely. I mean, they've all got billions of patents. So you know, just because a patent clerk just, you know, they basically give them away kind of free with bags of, you know, popcorn.
That's true. I've got about 230 patents now, but they're mainly rubbish patents. They only earn me a few millions.
Well, I've still had plenty of cease and desist letters from you, though. Will, so
yeah, well, I quite enjoy writing them. Anyway. So keeping on the Apple theme, this is the iOS podcast. But talking about the Apple company theme.
Full company theme. Yeah, it's my favourite theme.
Here's a rumour.
An Apple rumour?
Yes, and Apple is going to hold a, quote, strange event sometime in February.
Right. Who's making this claim?
It was made to Mako Takarara. Danbo. The author of Danbo.
Half side of truth. What does that mean?
Well, I have no idea.
Half side of truth.
Yes, apparently Danbo is saying that Apple will hold an event sometime this month, but it will be a strange event rather than a real hardware launch. In a similar vein to the sort of iBooks 2 event in New York.
So right. we're saying not iPad 3 then?
No, not a hardware launch.
So something what?
Stranger.
They'll launch a carrier for it or what? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, they're never going to do a hardware announcement in New York for stars. So.
We don't know where this one's going to take place, if it even
does
take place. No, but it's meant to be just a minor announcement, I guess, is what he's hinting at. But we've also got an iPad 3 rumor. Hey, everyone's happy. It covers everything. launched the iPad 3 in March. That's the new rumor. And in early March.
I can believe that.
And it packs a Retina display and a quad-core A6 processor.
And a screen shaped like an Apple.
And it also, you know, it thanks you whenever you turn it on.
Mine doesn't. Mine panics and says, "Why are you trying to run all these apps? I can't do it," and crashes.
Oh, my.
Well, that would kind of. Sorry. That timing's kind of right because you assume they probably did try and do something within GDC, which they have done in previous years. That's the 5th of March. So.
How big would the resolution be if they want to get a quote Retina display on the iPad 3? I mean, because it's a 10-inch screen, right?
Mm.
Just under. And of course, it's like 320 DPI or something like that, or is it higher than
326?
326. Mm. So what res would that be?
You do the math.
I'll try and do the math. I can imagine them releasing a... Because it's under 720 now, isn't it? It's just under 720. So I could imagine them releasing a 720 one. But that wouldn't surely not be Retina, as they call it. Anyway, maybe it'd be 1080. 1080 would be interesting.
Thanks for that great bit of insight there.
This is incredibly interesting. Everyone's still listening.
speculating just for, yeah, it's good
talking about random. That's not a link. Talking about Steam,
Steam has just been released
on Android and iPhone. We're going to ignore it's been released on Android though, because it's called something else and it's not the Android podcast, so we're going to just talk about the iPhone one, which is called Steam Mobile. It's by Valve, as you might guess from the name, and it's the official companion app to the popular service where my friends tell me about how crap Duke Nukem Forever is, despite the fact I told them before they bought it. Yes, and it was in closed beta.
Beta.
Is it beta? Who says beta?
I say beta, but I say it in American accent.
Which one?
You say
which one?
Beta.
Beta.
That's ridiculous.
Alpha, beta. Yeah.
What? So why do you put the accent on?
Because it's such a twatty word. You have to say it in a stupid way, otherwise you sound like a twat. Yeah. So I have a friend who won't ever go and order a latte at a coffee shop because he says he feels like a rude word saying it. So I have to do it. I don't say that in an American accent, though. I might.
I don't say tall. Yeah. I never like ordering my coffee with a tall.
I just say large or small.
Oh, no, tall is actually not large.
Yeah, it's a small one, isn't it? Yeah, it's grande vente.
Yeah, whatever. Grande vente. Humongous ona.
But back...
Valve. They've really... It's now no longer in closed beta. So you can download it and install it on your iPhones. I've had a little go on it. It's quite an interesting little app. Obviously, it doesn't allow you to play games.
Say, I didn't really understand the fuss about it, really.
Well, it's Valve.
Everyone was tweeting about it, literally, and it was almost like they'd launched an OnLive or something on a thing. And then
the
portable little thing. I'm not sure.
They sent out press releases to all the console sites. You notice where I'm going with that?
No.
Thanks for that, Valve. I don't know. They're a big company, and all the console sites will report them. But I mean, the app itself is actually quite nice, nicely put together. It works, well, as far as I can see, it works pretty well. Lets you buy stuff. So to be fair, there has been occasions when like they've been running, say, the Christmas sale, and we're all at the Christmas conference, and me and Mike were checking like what was the current thing on offer, or using the web browsers on the phone. Mm. So having the app and being able to buy it there on the app, it would have been really helpful. But
is it as slick looking as the Xbox app on iPad?
No.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's pretty slick though.
It is pretty slick, but it's not as slick as the Xbox.
That's all I needed to know.
So if you're a Steam member, then yeah, check it out. I mean, it's handy, I guess. It's free as well. So there we go. Talking about social gaming networks, Gameloft has just released a new version of Live. However, Gameloft Live, this is not Xbox Live. That'd be mad.
Gameloft Live.
Gameloft Live, that's how you say it.
It's a sentiment.
But it's only on Android at the moment. But you'll understand why in a second when I go on to describing it, because I think it's going to be another one of those things where I think Gameloft have to pull some strings to get it on the App Store personally. But from the description I've seen of the Android one, I haven't checked this out myself yet, but it is effectively a much more expanded version of Gameloft Live. which allows you to customize virtual avatars. It shouldn't be that funny, but it is. Virtual avatars like Xbox Live. And there's a full 3D environment, apparently. You can get items. You probably have to pay for items, knowing Game Off. And, yeah, and you can do the normal stuff that Game Off Live allows you to do, which play games. But you can also buy stuff from the game, from the publisher's catalog. Why I think either that feature is going to be taken out, or they're going to have a little bit of issues getting it past Apple.
But why is there an issue there if it links straight through to the?
If it links straight through to the App Store, very good point. But it doesn't on the Android one, you see. That's what the impression I got.
But on the Android one, they can do whatever they like. So I mean,
that's true.
They're not even on Android.
And actually, interesting on the Android one, it's not even available on the Android store yet. They're just running it through their own store, aren't they? So
yeah, they are. Yeah. Although they are planning on releasing on the Android market soon.
Yeah, no, they are.
I guess, yeah. No, actually, I guess that's why they're making that separate version, so they can
look at it. I mean, it is interesting, because you kind of think, like, yesterday, EA were talking up kind of Origin, which obviously isn't just a mobile thing, but that's, you know, everyone's... And as we've seen with Crytek, you know, all these kind of big companies now moving towards, like, similar kind of digital platform, social, blah-de-blah-de-blah kind of walled garden, so it kind of sits within that. But it's kind of funny that Gameloft Live has always been a bit of a like redheaded stepchild, hasn't it? I mean, like, I've kind of used it a few times, but you know, you don't really feel that they put much into it, and they've only got 7 million. They've only had 7 million people sign up to it, which doesn't seem very much in these days of. You can't think how many downloads they've had of their games. So I guess we'll see if there's any change with this kind of new version.
I mean, the picture we got here is of people of buying clothes and shoes and stuff. I never really get why people do that on something that isn't them.
It's absolutely fantastic. I love it.
Really?
Like, yeah, absolutely. Like, and what I tend to do is like win them through, like, because obviously like the nearest comparison is Xbox Live, but like you can see Gameloft games getting to the point where you can dress up your digital avatar in items that you win through playing their game, for example, you know, as a little sort of incentive to keep you going and maybe pay for, you know, credit or whatever to get you there faster instead of just buying the t-shirt directly. And I, like, for example, like I love dressing up my Xbox Live avatar. It's like one of my favorite things to do when I've got nothing.
He's being sarcastic, isn't he?
No, I'm genuinely not. If you should check out my Yaris t-shirt that I've got. It is the most rocking t-shirt ever. It's completely true. Completely true. I love Yaris. That kind of stuff.
But I'm the exact opposite. So I mean, so I don't. No, I'd like to keep my avatar, because the whole point is everyone's all, you know, blah blah blah. My avatar. I like to keep my avatar on the default option, because that's actually much more.
Oh, you're such a killjoy, John.
Much more about my personality than go, oh, I'm going to put a funny hat on it.
Well, yeah, to be honest, I've not done anything with my Xbox 360 avatar since the day they popped up. I kind of think it's a waste of money, isn't it? You think it's a thing. It's not. I mean, even that has more value to it, because you think Xbox Live is quite huge. You know, it's multi-platform now. So whereas Gameloft Live is on a load of certain games that I might not want to play, to be honest. So you kind of think, who's going to see it?
That's always the problem that as there's more of these platforms. I mean, I guess we kind of had that. I had it certainly in the first wave with Open Fate and Plus and Score Loop, and you know, I just never. I mean, I didn't have avatars, but I never did anything at all with them. I mean, it just, you had to log in for most of them, or it kind of did it automatically, but I never did anything in them. It was just like featureless there.
I just think it's something that kind of brings a little bit more personality to the experience, and it kind of tailors it. And I kind of like to put my own stamp on things. And
I think that's for certain groups of people. I would say more for young females than your demographic. You know, I've never met you, but I'm assuming you're not.
I bought a special edition of Call of Duty so I can get the special SAS costume for my avatar.
Well, that's just because you use it to pick up girls.
Yeah, I do, actually. Hi. Guess who's got the special SAS avatar costume? Yeah, that's me. Yeah. Can I buy you a drink? Okay, fair enough. Okay.
I'll tell you, actually, I would use this if it let me then take that person into urban crime and I could kill everyone in it as me. I would find much more satisfaction from
there
that.
There are some games which allow you to take your friends' avatars in. Not on Gameloft, though.
Kill all my friends.
Kill them all. If
it replaced some of the gangsters' names with like Will Wilson, you know, is on your patch, go and kill him. I'd drive down and
there'll be me
run you over.
Sort of walking down the pavement, not doing anything, you know.
If you were urban crime, you should be running into a lamppost continuously.
Into a lamppost. Not fazed by it, not falling over.
No, just continuously on like a treadmill running into a lamppost.
And if you shoot me, I'll suddenly turn around and have a gun in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's enough about knocking urban crime. let's talk about piracy.
I thought you were going to go a bit salt and pepper on us then.
Piracy?
Yeah, let's sit down and talk about piracy for a second.
I think it's bad.
You're old enough now to know a little bit more about piracy.
You are.
How come we're not talking about cloning? We're talking about piracy. Did we talk about cloning last week? Sorry, I made a mistake.
We talked about cloning last week.
I'll shut up then.
Well, I did. Me and Matt.
Okay, it's all right then.
We're talking about Rovio, aren't we?
We're talking about Rovio now.
Or Ruvio, as I call them now.
Or Ravio. Ruvio.
I've decided I'm pronouncing everything wrong now from beta onwards.
Ruvio Morbid.
Come off live, Ruvio. Yeah.
So, according to Chief Executive Michael Head, we have some issues with piracy, not only in apps, but also especially in the consumer products. There are tons and tons of merchandise out there, especially in Asia, which is not officially licensed products. But we could learn a lot from the music industry and the rather terrible ways the music industry has tried to combat piracy, because he says that the abilities to combat piracy are futile. Piracy may not be a bad thing. It can get us more business at the end of the day.
Mm. Yeah, people, you know, it's one of these stories that, you know, including us, I suspect, we wrote up because we know that people read it and because everyone loves to hate Rovio these days, we'll get annoyed by it. But actually, he's spot on, because what he's mainly talking about, when you read the whole transcript, he's kind of more talking about merchandise. And what he's saying is that in random parts of Asia, in the developing world, where there are people making stuffed Angry Bird toys that aren't official, as long as they're not harming the brands, Rovio aren't going to chase those people. A, because it would basically knock Rovio, wouldn't make Rovio look especially good, and B, as long as they're of a suitable quality that they're not going to harm the brand, it actually spreads the name out there. I mean, it reminded me actually of, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this, but John was talking to someone down in London last week who's making a Ghostbusters game, and apparently Ghostbusters is like even more recognized around the world than brands like Coca-Cola and stuff, primarily because of random people making unofficial goods with the Ghostbusters logo on. So what will annoy people is that Rovio are in a position now where they can afford to let people make money off their back without it harming their business. Whereas if you were a very small studio and someone was knocking off your game, then, you know, that's not acceptable. But I think in terms of what he was saying, talking about merchandise in places like that, you know, that he's spot on, really.
Building a brand.
Span your footprint if you know it gets people are essentially doing PR work for you, you know, without you having to do anything, you know. So I think, but of course, because it's Rovio, I was going to leap on it and say, oh, Rovio says piracy is good, you know, but that's not really what he was saying, to be honest with you.
I mean, the other context was the conference he was at was a music conference, so he wasn't specifically talking to a gaming audience. He was, I think, historically talking about how the music industry didn't deal with piracy very well. So I think that's
is
kind of
Midim
pop.
A music. Midim. Conference,
yeah,
really. Is it?
Yeah,
all right, okay. I didn't realize that. I used to work in a company that used to hold a show at MIPCOM, you see. So I'd heard the name many times because it's another one of the Cannes festivals. Didn't realize it was all about music, though. Sorry, I'll back away. Yeah, so I think that's it for the news. Thanks very much to all my guests. We're now going on to the new releases. This week on the new releases, we're off the leash, we're ghosts, and we're flying. Hello. What's up? What's up first? Let's talk about Off the Leash, first of all. New game by Big Pixel, I think. And it looks terribly similar to that army game.
That army game?
What yeah, army game? The Endless Army game. That I'm sure John's knows of.
Endless Army game.
Not sure.
Vertical army game where you guide those couple of soldiers up, like on a constant march up to the top of the screen.
Oh, the one that just like, yeah, the My Army one that just came
yeah.
out.
Yeah, it's got a similar sort of idea behind it. It's obviously it's not a clone for everyone dashes and goes yeah. clone. But yes, you lead a group of dogs vertically up the screen, avoiding obstacles and gathering more dogs.
Sold.
It was a little bit more like a kind of cross between. It's like almost like a doodle jump without the gravity, isn't it? Rather
a little bit, yeah.
That's quite nice.
Yeah, the graphics quite cool.
The dog is playing it in the video, which I think is good.
Well, you've never seen a dog play a smartphone game before.
I think Peter will like it. He can customize his dog.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I was going to bring that exact point up. you can, and it looks amazing, and the dogs look adorable, and there is a little pug in it, and pug's my favourite dogs, so I literally am, as soon as this podcast is over, going to go and download it.
You're coming across as far gay than me at the moment, Peter, I have to say.
I'm okay.
So that's available for free.
I want a mode in GeForce that lets dogs play on smartphones, a special dog mode.
You mean Guff Face?
Mm-hmm.
What's up next? It's Royal Trouble Hidden Adventures. I'll let you guess what kind of adventures we're talking about here. Princess Lorene and Prince Nathaniel escape from a locked dungeon and onto a secluded island.
Country are they from?
They're from G5 Entertainment World, where you leave lots of like frying pans and brooms around certain locations, and you have to click them or tap them. Anyway, so there we go. That's another hidden object game from G5. They've got a lot of hidden object games.
I wonder if they've ever lost any.
I think they've, yeah.
It looks like the aesthetic's quite nice, though. It looks a bit like a slightly less weird mist.
Well, I was thinking that screen there, it looks like something from Nightmare, and you've got to make the bridge appear.
Yeah. The adventurer walks in from that right hand door. And then he has to get the bridge across. And they...
an out-of-work actor will appear on the left dressed as a pixie. And
Do you want to reach the other side? Oh, you're going to have to answer a riddle, I'm afraid.
Oh, I miss it. American listeners will have no idea what you're talking about.
Nightmare is brilliant. Look it up. KNI. It's free, but knowing G5, you have to pay like £2 after a while. Come fly with me, Peter.
All right. Where are we going?
We're going to EA's new game, which is a casual game. It features a small bird. It's a one-tap game, this, isn't it? In which you have to get a bird to avoid obstacles, such as trees, spiders, fly traps.
A bird. You should write descriptions.
He's becoming hysterical, isn't he?
Get a bird to avoid... sounds good. So, get this bird to avoid these obstacles. All right.
Yeah, that's it.
So is this Jetpack Joyride?
For people into birds.
Yeah.
Right.
Avian Joyride. There's 45 levels. You get to eat bees. I think that's not very good for a bird, is it?
Bees don't eat bees.
Some eat bees, yeah.
Really, do they? Not bees, though, surely.
They don't like hover birds eat bees.
Bees are nice. They taste like honey.
Fly With Me is out now for 69p. God, the main menu screen doesn't look good, does it? Have you seen it? Well, if you click on the purchase link, look at that. Look at they all look like they're a bit worn out. Anyway,
one out,
yeah, the birds on the front, they were just, they're smiling.
Tapping away, they've been flying.
I know, but they look really, worn out.
Have you been eating too many bees? Maybe you're right.
Already the sting. Also out this week, Universal Apps, Reckless Racing 2.
Mm.
Yes, I was meant to download this. Well, I say meant to. I was going to download it. I didn't get any time. But it's Polarbit's second game, obviously, in the main Reckless Racing series. Because, of course, there was Reckless Racing Getaway, which was completely different to the other one. Yes, it's out now. It's got customizable cars, unlockable stuff, 24 tracks, a proper campaign mode this time, multiplayer, of course, for up to 6 players, I think. And it looks gorgeous.
It looks very pretty.
It does look, and we've just given it a 9 as well.
How much did they pay for that?
Well, if you want to play the app to find out, you've got to pay $2.99.
That's not what I meant.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, I'm ignoring that comment. Also out this week is Ghost Trick, which I will talk about a bit later.
Phantom Detective.
Phantom. Yes. Also out, Awesome Land. I'm not overawed by the graphics on Awesome Land. It's a platform game. Old school platform game. Featuring a biker in levers.
Looks like they've taken kind of properties from all different games and put them together.
Yeah.
Mm. And
isn't that part of the thing? They kind of said, "Remember when games were awesome?" So it's.
That's exactly like partly what I don't like about it at all. Like, it's like, remember when games were awesome? Aren't they?
Yeah, when I was 6 and easily pleased.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a slightly rubbish throwback. Well, I don't know. I haven't played it yet. Maybe it's amazing.
Doesn't look it.
No, it doesn't look it, does it? yes, so that's out now, and it costs £1.49. Ooh, £1.49. That's a bit risky.
Prices here every day, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Spice Invaders is out this week as well. It's one of Chillingo's games, would you believe? It's a tower defense game. I've played this. I played it at a preview event.
You hate tower defense.
I do, and I have no. You see, if I told you my opinion on this game from the preview I played, I'd probably say I really didn't like it because it's tower defense.
Well, like the name.
You'd be right. It's a tower defense game.
I can't actually see any gameplay in this video.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
No, it's not one of those.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's no Kingdom Rush, is it? Let's be honest.
I don't know. Kingdom Rush sounded a bit bad as well. yeah, so it's kind of like Field Runners, really, but with slightly nicer graphics.
It looks quite alright.
It's got a huge upgrade tree. I remember this from the preview event as well, and I've got a suspicion that
it looks pretty massive, doesn't it?
I think there's quite a lot of grinding involved if you want to get up there. Because, I mean, it's a free game, so...
But I think, I mean, partly like we were joking about hidden object games, but obviously there's a group of people who just, all they play is hidden object games. They, complete experts, and they just love them. When they finish finishing a jigsaw, then they move on to the next one. So I think tower defense is a little bit like that. Some people just really like that, the fact that it's not that
I can understand.
Not really that challenging, are they? So.
Well, hang on.
I don't know.
I can't complete any tower defense games.
They're quite hard.
But no, I don't mind hidden object games. They're all right, but I don't like tower defense games.
Yeah, but you're just like that, Will. You walk into a room and you just start looking for hidden objects.
I know, but sometimes you find interesting things. Last week I found a paperclip. Terra Noctis Free Dreaming. Here's an interesting one. Terra Noctis, of course, came out about a month ago, I think, as a paid download. This is effectively the freemium version of the game. Not a playable demo, not a light version. A freemium version. Where you have to unlock the rest of the worlds as you go along. Or you could grind it out and unlock them that way. It's an interesting decision made here. Terra Noctis didn't get an amazing review, if I remember. It looks great. I mean, come on, that art style, guys. Sorry, I don't want to just keep talking all the time.
It's a bit like Bubsy the Bobcat or something.
Bubsy the Bobcat? That's a name from the past.
That just came into my head when I was watching it. I remember Bubsy, yeah.
Who doesn't?
Everyone else.
I'm getting that feeling, yeah.
Well, they're moving on. Gorilla Gondola is our final game for this week that I'm going to mention.
I've got some more. We're missing some
I'm going to mention. Gorilla, yes, we have. I remember another one actually that I will mention. Gorilla Gondola. Look at those graphics, aren't they nice? Except for the main character, who seems less good compared to the rest of it.
It seems static, yeah.
But I mean, look at the App Store engine. Wow, look at the background graphics. Anyway, you're a gorilla. You're on a gondola. You've got to pick up bananas.
Does that background animate, or is it just essentially like a painting?
It's got some animations.
Well, part of it is because obviously you're avoiding the like the big rocky bits that are sticking out in the foreground.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like, it's a bit like, yeah, like Defender when you're moving between, you know, trying to avoid things. But it's a bit of an odd gameplay kind of thing, isn't it? Really, mechanic.
It is. Yeah. It's £1.49. I'm sure we'll have a review up of it soon.
Firmin's, which is one that back that I saw, I think you saw it back in the summer at Gamescom, what on earth are they called? Housemark from Finland, who are obviously well known for Super Stardust. This is completely nothing like Super Stardust, but it's kind of a little bit like the Incredible Machine kind of like set up things, and you'll kind of have these Firmin, obviously furry little things that you're kind of like trying to get somewhere in the level. So it's very physics based. You're placing objects a little bit, kind of cut the rope in places with bits of rope physics. And actually, I wasn't really sure about it when I saw it in the summer. I thought like a little bit didn't really grab me. But just been checking out the new kind of video and screens. And it looks like they've improved it enormously graphically. So that's for iPhone and iPad. So if you're into those kind of physics-y things, probably worth checking that one out, I would say. Completely different. There's one called Ultimate Battle Zombies, which, as you can imagine, is about zombies. I wouldn't say gameplay-wise, I wouldn't say it's anything particularly we haven't seen before. It's kind of like a... I think Peter will like it because he gets to customise his zombies. So you have kind of zombies and you... you battle them by...
I sense a bit of friction here.
No, he said he liked it. That's what I'm saying.
I do. There we go. Talking the truth.
Yeah. So what you do is you have your kind of, you collect these different zombies, obviously leveling up and more powerful and buying them, and it's a freemium game. And then you have different moves you do, and then you kind of, it's like a rock paper scissors thing where you put in three attack moves and three defense moves, and then you fight them against each other. And
Well, sounds good.
I was playing a bit last night. No, I think it's more the graphical style is quite nice. I mean, the zombie thing's probably been a little bit done to death.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
The developer, Riptide, quite well known, kind of American indie. And the final one is Shogun, which I think came out this week from Int 13, which is they're French developers, top-down bullet hell kind of shooter where, I mean, not quite at the cave level, but they tried to be a bit more... innovative with their kind of not control, but their kind of like their gameplay methods, how you kind of set up your ships and stuff. But it's free to play, so if you're into those kind of mad experiences where you have no idea what's going on, probably worth checking that one out.
I'm going to come in and add that Robokill 2 is out, which is a sequel to Bronze Award winning twin stick shooter come RPG, a little bit like Smash TV meets an RPG essentially. And yes, I haven't played it yet, but the original was quite fun. But also out this week is Pocket Racing 2. The original got a silver award. It's by the same developer as another good game as well. What was it? Galataxi, of course, which was out on Android. That was pretty decent. Pocket Racing 2 is out, and it's a similar sort of genre to Reckless Racing 2, though, which is going to be a problem, I think. But Pocket Racing is free. So
doesn't look as pretty.
It's not as pretty, but the original was a solid top-down racing game. It's pretty decent.
The tarmac looks nice.
But that's out for free now. So there we go. I'm sure we'll have a story up about that very soon. Anyway, let's move on to what we've been playing.
Battleground.
So competitive these days.
I win, John.
I remember when it was Fields. Just normal fields.
Well, then we built the Colosseum, man. And then the aliens came.
He's like Jerry Springer. He just wants everyone to fight.
Yeah. Well, that's how you make the money. You get the fighting going. Can't make money from fields.
Ring.
All right, okay, first up on the What We've Been Playing Coliseum of Battlegrounds. Let's start with Ghost Trick. That's from me. I don't think anyone else has played this, have they?
No.
This isn't much of a battleground. Okay, I'll take place. let's go over to the fields for a second. So, yes, I've been playing Ghost Trick, which is the new game from Capcom.
It's not new.
On iOS. Oh, look at you. Yes, so it's a new game on iOS from Capcom and from the creator of the Ace Attorney series, whose name I can't remember off the top of my head, but he's good. Yes, you start off, it's free. You get the first two chapters, I think, free. And you have to pay for the rest of the chapters in sort of blocks. You start off with a woman with a gun pointed at her by a short-sighted hitman with a gold shotgun. That, but and your character unfortunately is dead, so you then the whole gameplay mechanic revolves around you possessing inanimate objects and then tricking them in real time to do something. So you sort of drag your finger across the screen to move your spirit into, say, a bicycle bell, and then you go into real time to start the game again, and you press trick and then it rings the bell. And the different things you do with the objects affects what happens in real life. And you normally only have a certain amount of time before a person dies or something tragic happens. And you've basically got to try and reverse and change their fate. And every time you change their fate, you get a little bit more time to completely save them. It's quite cool. I've got to admit, the animations, for one thing, are a league above most games. They're sort of like rotoscope looking, but not rotoscoped. They're just really nicely animated. The writing is very strong. As you'd probably imagine from the Ace Attorney guy. Although I don't think he wrote it, did he? Maybe he did. I don't know, but whoever he got to write it was very good.
Yeah, he wrote it, definitely.
And the setting's interesting. Your character is an amnesiac, and it's a bit of a normal thing, that, but it actually is quite interesting. It gets you into the game. The controls are excellent. It's from the DS version, which was released at the very tail end of 2010 in Europe. I think it was very early 2011, actually. But I remember playing the demo of that at a Nintendo event in December 2010.
It did. I mean, it raised quite a lot of really good kind of press, didn't it? I don't think it did. It didn't do very well. It was just the time when the DS was dying, wasn't it? So
indeed, yeah. No, it was easily my highlight of that event. And that was the event they unveiled the 3DS, they didn't unveil it there, but they were demoing it there. But actually, I was more interested in Ghost Trick. But yes, it was. So now it's on iOS. It's free, but of course you've got to pay for more chapters. But it's that sort of. It's just a really well designed puzzle game that sort of takes things at a unique angle. I need to play a bit more of it, obviously, because I don't know how complicated the puzzles get. But overall, it's sort of unusual, interesting, easy to play, quite funny in places.
What's the style of the writing?
Well, it's in English.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, good.
What's the font like?
It depends on who's talking.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know, really. It's not really noir. It's more sort of like a light-hearted comedy, but also with dark elements. I don't know. I can't really sum it up in one word. I'm not very good at saying styles.
Not very good at reviewing.
It's good. I'm not reviewing the game, Keith. Otherwise I'd know. Yeah? Yeah? You get me.
Put a little proviso on all of your reviews that Will's not very good at reviewing.
Oi! I'm not reviewing this game. I'm just playing it, you know? I'm chilling. I'm just chilling. So yeah, I recommend you all download it and try it out, because it is good fun.
I've got time to play your silly games.
It's not silly, it's good. And no, that isn't a ghost trick. Peter.
I'm really lost now. I have no idea what's going on as well.
Jesus, Rapley says his name.
Excellent. So I've been playing Hello Kitty Beauty Salon.
No, we could have guessed. Living customization, man.
Customization. Is that some sort of like horrible street slang.
I think you really offended John earlier.
look at him, he's a customization man.
Yeah, he probably wants to customize everything.
So I think it's a time management game. I have not really played time management games, so I don't really know.
It's a Hello Kitty time management game.
Yeah, it's a time management game.
Really?
Yeah. So basically, you're one of the characters, but you're not Hello Kitty. And you have a beauty salon. You've got the money to open up a beauty salon, and you get lots of different customers, and they come in. And you have different chairs that do different things. So, for example, you can give somebody a quick powder or cut their hair or give their hair a wash or spray them with perfume or whatever.
It's time management.
Yeah, and you need to move them around from different ones, otherwise they get angry.
It's like a Diner Dash thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's actually made by the same guys who made Pretty Pet Salon.
Oh, yeah, Pretty Pet Salon.
There's additional bits and pieces. So you're given, I think it's just 2 tokens every single day, you know, actual 24 hours day, to put into a slot machine, and then the little circle, the little arrow spins round, and then you maybe get some Hello Kitty points, or maybe you get dollars or whatever. And you the Hello Kitty points are kind of like the paid currency, but they give you a little bit every now and then just to keep you going, just to make sure that you want to unlock some more of the characters. And then there's dollars, which you can use not very well, because basically you can't really buy anything particularly to help you out with your quest to become the beauty salon queen. But it does get very, very difficult because of it. So I've been trying to stay away from like paying money and stuff like that. So I haven't been able to unlock some of the characters that I want, and I need more characters because otherwise I'm basically running out of time, and basically my customers get all angry, and then they huff off because they haven't got their lipstick added to their to their little faces in time.
How come the customers all wear stupid hats?
Yeah, they always, now that is very weird, and I like to think it's quite dark, because they all wear hats
that look like hats.
Yeah, but those animal hats are actually the characters that are in the game. So for example,
oh my God,
there's a guy who'll come in and he's like wearing a normal t-shirt and slacks and stuff and whatever, but he's got like a Batsmaru hat on, and you're like, whoa, Batsmaru's right there. That's like scalping someone and wearing it as like a toupee or something. That's horrible.
I'm lost now. Sorry, something happened.
Well, John, if you were part of the cool kid community, then you would know that Batsmaru is the angry penguin.
If I was a customizer.
If you were brought up properly. Yeah. So Batsmaru is like an angry penguin. He's got a kind heart. You can unlock loads of different characters. I'm currently working towards getting one of my favorite characters, which is Dear Daniel, and Karoppi. And if you get Karoppi, who's like this frog, Karoppi is like a frog in like a red and white shirt. So he kind of looks like a barber. He's got a lovely little black bow tie. Wow. He will look after the cash machine automatically, and so obviously that makes the game much, much easier. Currently, I've got Tippy and Thomas. They're two little bears, and they're helping me out.
Hold. How do you know so much about Hello Kitty?
So you can also get the little twin stars, Kiki and Lala. I really, really want to get Lala because she's absolutely.
How do you remember all these names?
They're just.
Let's start them on the Pokemon. We'll be here all night.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, absolutely. One of the other really good ones I really want is My Melody. But they all have kind of different. You can upgrade them again once you've bought them, and they all help out in the shop.
Do you even say their names when you tap on them?
I think so.
Oh, hang on. Yes, it does, actually.
I think so. Some of the like characters who you can't hire, like from the rest of the Sanrio universe, like. They'll come and visit your shop, and they'll be like a special customer, and you get extra money, and you get tips from customers. It's really, really fun. I've been sort of playing through it, and it's just a delight. And the music is beautiful. Like it's just such a wonderful little world that they kind of created, like, you know, 50 or 60, or I think now coming up to about 70 years ago now. There you go.
You need to play some more time management, I think.
Yeah, well, I definitely think you should. You need to be plunged into the time management pool and render and washed of this horrible filth that you seem to have picked up, Peter.
Well, I do apologise. But yeah, so I do seriously. Like, if you look past the fact that it is amazing and beautiful and wonderful, the game itself is actually pretty cool. But I do think it's kind of limited. So by, you know, your skill. Well, yeah, like, you're limited by your resources. You're not limited by your skill, which becomes a bit of a bother. But checking out the leaderboards, some people have been playing this for like hardcore. Like, I'm about 18 game days in, and like on the leaderboards, there's somebody who's like 400 game days in, and I can't imagine what that looks like. Like, it must be so fast. So yeah, okay. Thoroughly recommended, and it's free.
Okay. Keith.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I hear you've been playing Scramble with friends.
Yeah, I've been on. It's a good week to be playing a Zynga game or a Zynga, as I'm going to call them.
God, you've been playing a Zynga game. Oh my God, I'm not talking to you.
That is what people are like. It's but I know. To be honest, I went into this. It's one of Scramble with Friends is obviously one of their with friends games, as the name suggests. So you can't play it by yourself. You have to challenge people. So you challenge people from your Facebook or you challenge randoms. You have a 4x4 grid of letters, and you have, I think it's 2 minutes to make as many words as you can from those on offer. And obviously all the letters have to be touching. You can only use each letter once in each word. So it was really good about it.
A bit like Boggle or something like
that. Well, yeah, exactly like Boggle, really. Yeah, it kind of heavily borrows from that. So you literally just draw your finger around to make the words, and they pop up, and you get points. Each battle is like, it's obviously turn-based, so you have a go, and then it notifies you when the other person has had their go, and it reveals the scores, and there's three rounds in each kind of battle. And the first one is just literally, you just get points for the longer words you get, but the later rounds seem to certain letters have kind of bonuses attached to them, so obviously you're more inclined to try and use certain letters, and if there's an S on the grid, then literally every word you write, you then put an S on, which plural gives you some more. It is really surprisingly addictive, partly because the notification system, literally, you start up a couple of matches and you'll be getting notified every few minutes that so-and-so is, it's a bit like being on eBay when you get told that you've been beaten on a bid, that you then automatically have to go and up your bid, so you have to go back and you have to beat this person. But it's just very well implemented, and it's I think it's 69p, but basically you do need to buy some credits, because you have two slots for bonuses. One you get free, one you have to kind of buy coins to fill. But the bonuses are kind of essential. One of them freezes the clock for a bit. One of them suggests three words. And the other one switches the order of letters around, so then obviously it unlocks other words. Well, you tend to use the first two, and it does actually, if you're very clever and you make sure you've used up all the tiny words like on or no and stuff like that, because if you don't, it'll suggest those, and you think, oh, what a waste. But if you've kind of covered all the bases, then you think you really lost with the long ones, you ask for the tip, and you'll get some amazingly ridiculous long words in there. But the only thing I would say is kind of annoying is that it's clearly kind of aimed at an American audience, and I can't remember any examples now, but there are a couple of words that I know are words on this side of the
aluminum.
I wish, no, I've never got one that long. That don't come up, which is annoying. And then they're all equally when some of the suggestions it makes of words that I've never ever heard of at all. But you kind of get used to that. And once you learn its language, even if you don't have any idea what that word means, it comes up once, you spot it again, you put it down. So it kind of teaches you words, but it doesn't actually teach you what they mean. But I was really impressed with that, actually. I'm still been playing it now. There are more people, as I've kind of Facebooked about it and commented about how randomly addicted I've become over the last couple of days, people then have started challenging me to games. And there are some people out there who are seriously good at it, who will just scores in rounds that you think, I cannot understand how, where, you think you've literally got every single word on this grid. There are no more words, and they go and double your score. And you think, I can't understand it. But it's a very nice little ditty. As long as people keep playing it, then it's the kind of game you'll have on your iPhone, and you'll just turn to it every time you get a notification. And it literally, because it's 2 minutes long, you kind of just do it all the time. So I was very impressed with it.
The sound design's really good as well, actually, I think.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a whole. It's incredibly slick. It's cutesy, wow. And it's zinger.
I'd love to try it out. You know, sounds really good. Oh no, it's not compatible with my iPod. Well, what about that?
What iPod have you got?
Second gen.
Why is it not compatible with that?
I don't know. It's not compatible. I just tried to download it. It doesn't work.
Doesn't do anything.
I could play it on my iPad, but it's an iPhone app, so it's going to look really crap.
I do play it on my iPad, actually, because it gives you more finger room, which I know you're into, Will. So.
I do not want to hear about finger room. Not now, Keith. Not now. Save it for later. Anyway, yes. John, you've not been playing anything this week, I hear.
No.
Okay, good.
I'm busy. I've got time for these game things. Goodness me.
I think we're all busy, John. It's just that some of us have time. Some of us have time to put in a game or two. talking of games or two, just as we were talking, Lou tweeted the fact that they've just released a new freemium racing game. It's quite a
Rogue Racing.
Rogue Racing, yeah. An asphalt.
I interviewed the developer, and they said about how they're making a great game for it, and the interview went up, and then they said, oh no, you can't say we're making it. I was like,
Bloody
so
hell.
I can't say he's making it. It's Rogue Racing, though.
You can't say he's making it. I mean, it looks nice. I can't
remember they're what are they called? I can't remember.
Oh no.
I'm sure it'll be in the credits.
Well, it certainly looks nice. This must be the first time Lou has released a behind the car 3D racer.
Well, I think, for smartphones, I think they would have done a lot of Java stuff. And then.
Yeah, surely. Anyway, so there we go. That's this week's news and reviews and what we've been playing. I hope now that you'll all go and download Ghost Trick and not Hello Kitty. Instead of downloading Hello Kitty, Beauty Salon.
Why you got to be a hater?
You know, why don't you just download Build a Lot 2?
Why you got to be a Hello Kitty hater?
Build a Lot 2 is the best time management game out there.
Play that, Pete. That is
yeah, Pete.
Okay,
play
is that,
that
actually worth it?
Yes. No,
I wanted to give it a 10. It's an amazing game. Amazing game.
It is incredible. Build a Lot 2. You've got to play it.
Arguably my favourite game ever on iPhone, actually. It could well be.
Wow.
It's definitely in my top 5.
I loved Build a Lot as well, the first one.
The first one was really good.
Give that a massive score as well.
No, okay, that's fine. That's fine. But is Dear Daniel in it?
No, just a lot of houses, really.
Yeah,
right. Oh, wow. Amazing architecture. Incredible.
It's like Hello Kitty for boys. You know,
Yes, but there are no kittens in shirts.
Oh, no. But if you want.
This is an argument I don't think even we can win.
You can pretend there are kittens living in it, in shirts.
Yeah, there are kittens probably living in the homes, especially the bigger ones.
All right, I'm downloading it right now.
An amazing game, absolutely amazing.
It's really good. Also, it has the most well-timed expert time achievement, where it literally is, you really have to be on the ball every second to get the expert time. I've sat there repeating a level over and over again just to make my moves more efficient to get the expert time. It's terrible, but brilliant. So there we go. We just said Build a Lot 2. That's great. Ghost Trick, get that. That's free as well. So. And Hello Kitty, I guess.
Yeah.
And Scramble with Friends, of course.
Oh, yeah. Scramble with Friends.
Anyway, so there we go. Thank you very much. I hope to hear that you'll hear us next week. We will be back with all the latest.
I won't be. Will we? I will be, actually. Yeah, that's a change, isn't it? 2 weeks in a row. Sorry.
No, it's okay, I guess. So have a good one. We'll talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.